Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
गदिभ्राजकाचार्यशा अस्तोतरसत श्री श्रीमार अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस गदिभ्राजकाचार्य अस्तोतरसत श्री श्रीमार श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंति कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री द्वारक धाम की जय। न्यू द्वारक धाम की जय। गंगामयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय तस्मिन् प्रसाने सकलाशिषं प्रभो किं दुर्लभं था विरलं लभतमपि अनन्यदृष्ट्या पचथं कुहाशयः स्वयं विदत्ते स्वकथिं परापरम् तस्मिन् प्रसन्ने सकलाशिषं प्रभो किं Kim Dulabham Tabiralam Lavat Mabi. Ananya Drestya Pajatam Guhashaya. Svayam Vidate Swagatim Paraparam. Asmin prasanne sakala shisham prabho. Kim durlabham tha biralam lavatmabhi. Ananya drishtya pajatham guhashaya. Vayam vidhate svagatim paraparam.
Ananya Vishya Vajatam Guhashaya.
men unto him. Prasanne, being pleased. Sakala ashisham, of all benediction. Prabho, unto the Lord. Him. What is that? Durlabham. Very difficult to obtain. Tabhi. With them. Alone. Away. Lava Atmabhi. With insignificant gains. Ananya Drishya. By nothing but devotional service. Ajatam. Of those who are engaged in devotional service. Guha Ashaya. Residing within the heart. Swayam. Personally. Vidhate. Executes. Swagatim. In his own abode. Para. The supreme. Param. Transcendental. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, verse 10, the Lord gives intelligence to the pure devotees so that they may be elevated to the highest perfectional stage. It is confirmed herein that a pure devotee who constantly engages in the loving service of the Lord is awarded all knowledge necessary to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For such a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved but the service of the Lord. If one serves faithfully, there is no possibility of frustration because the Lord Himself takes charge of the devotee's advancement. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and He knows the devotee's motive and arranges everything achievable. In other words, the pseudo-devotee who is anxious to achieve material gains cannot attain the highest perfectional stage because the Lord is in knowledge of his motive. One merely has to become sincere in his purpose, and then the Lord is there to help in every way. Is everyone able to hear? Om Ajnantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Vilidhamjena
Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Sunta Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astapyate Sadharine
Hare Krishna. Very happy, grateful, and honored to be with you today. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Swabhas Prabhu, for allowing me to serve all these devotees. And thank you for each one of you for taking your precious time to be here today. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha. Text number 49. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in the transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. This particular verse is very relevant for the times we live in today and the times that everyone lives in forever. Because in this ever-changing world. Whoever we may be, whatever we have, whatever we know or don't know, whatever we could do or cannot do, we will inevitably be entangled in complexities. Perhaps you all have this experience, individually, collectively, globally, universally. Dukkala Yama Shashwat. We live in a world of change. If we understand this verse in the context in which it is spoken, it gives us a clear perspective. Without proper context, it could seem like a theory that isn't really what happens. Because it is describing here, nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. Is there anything in our lives that is unachieved? Does that mean we're not pleased with the Lord? We are understanding here that it's not describing the temporary material achievements. It's describing the achievements that are real and truly valuable. It's not that when we please Krishna, the Lord, that necessarily things are going to turn out the way we like them to. Because that is not really the achievement that we aspire for. Because whatever we achieve in this earthly existence, we must grow old. Some of us don't even get to do that. Disease is inevitable, and death. However we much please the Lord, yes, closer mic, I will try to please you and achieve making you happy. Actually, by Archita Prabhu's grace, that's what I was trying to say. The actual achievement is making Krishna happy. If we please the Lord, nothing is unachievable because Krishna's happy. If we make anything else our standard of achievement, frustration will come. Our bodies are going to suffer and die. Everything we have is going to be taken away from us. Everyone we love, either they're going to die or we're going to die and lose them. Materially, everything will be inevitably lost. So when we're speaking about the surety of success, if God is pleased with us, what is actually being spoken? Krishna is describing what is described in this verse. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Tesham sattva yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam pitami purti yogam kam yena mama. Krishna Krishna gives the intelligence, and through that intelligence gives himself to one who pleases him with loving service. This verse describes whatever our social or spiritual status or place in society may be. It's not how much we know. It's not how much we achieve. What makes us success is to the extent Krishna's pleased with us. Samsadir Haritosh. The perfection of all of our activities, all our desires, and all of our words is that Krishna's pleased. If we understand success from this perspective, and we could travel through life in such a way that we're always making progress toward Krishna. If our standard of happiness is what makes God happy, then even the so-called impediments, if we're sincere, make us more happy. This particular verse is being spoken by Maitreya Rishi to Vidura. Vidura, it is described earlier in this chapter, because he was meek and gentle. Sukadeva Goswami says, because Vidura was meek and gentle, Krishna would be happy to place his feet on the chest of Vidura. Vidura was always pleasing Krishna. From his heart, everything he did was an act of love and devotion. But what happened in his life? Why did we end up here talking to Maitreya Rishi? May we explore briefly? First of all, he was a son within the Kuru dynasty. He was most qualified to be the emperor. But because of the technicality of social tradition at the time, he was disqualified. Pandu became king, but then Pandu died untimely. And Dhritarashtra, who was blind both physically and spiritually, he became king. And Vidura became his assistant, the most qualified brother, but he just had to assist. He didn't get wealth, he didn't get fame, he had no power. He was just an advisor. But he always spoke the truth. And in this world, if you speak to someone of what's really beneficial for them, karmically, spiritually, and such people under the influence of people or surroundings have a different idea, you become a threat to them. Dhritarashtra's elder son, Duryodhana, was envious, arrogant, greedy, cruel. He could not tolerate the wonderful good qualities of his cousin brother Yudhishthira, who was actually, even when he was a little boy, he was meant to be the next king. Dhritarashtra was only to be a placeholder until Yudhishthira Maharaj would be old enough to take the throne. And Yudhishthira's younger brother was Bhima. He was very strong. So on every level, Duryodhana was envious. People loved Yudhishthira more than him. That was intolerable. People trusted Yudhishthira with all their hearts. And they didn't trust Duryodhana. He was going to get a position. Yudhishthira was going to get the position that Duryodhana craved for. And even though Duryodhana was an incredibly powerful warrior, Bhima was stronger and more powerful. So he simply lived in the frustration of envy. And he was so intelligent. Duryodhana knew how to manipulate circumstances. And he was always giving his... He was pressurizing his father, intimidating his father, corrupting and polluting the perspective of his father to exile, to murder who he considered his rivals. This is the primary story of the Mahabharata and a significant place in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vidura is the brother, and he's always giving the king the best advice. So here's Vidura. Personification of compassion, a lover of God, so pleasing to Krishna. We read about that instance where Duryodhana made a huge, wonderful reception for Krishna, with the best food, the best gifts of ornaments, and best entertainers. And he invited Krishna with nobody turned him down. Krishna walked by his palace, and Vidura just had a little heart. And Krishna just showed up. And it said Vidura wasn't even home. His wife was. When Krishna came, he said, "I'm hungry." There was nothing in the house. And according to the traditional story, she was so nervous. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has come to her little hut, and he's hungry, and there's nothing there. There was a banana. She peeled the banana and gave Krishna the skin of the banana. We would probably do the same thing. If Rukmini Dwarkadish actually knocked on our door one day. And Krishna ate it. And he was totally happy because it was offered with devotion. Love and devotion. So here is a person who's really pleasing the Lord. And it's describing that all benedictions are achieved when we please the Lord. A little later, Deborah. Seeing the atrocities that Dhritarashtra was allowing himself to be a part of, he spoke the truth. My brother, this is not good for you. It's not good for anybody. You can't be influenced and controlled by the envy of Duryodhana.
Right in front of the king, Duryodhana,
he heard it. He screamed with such scorn at Vidura. That you get out of this kingdom, you leave your home, take nothing with you. The only thing I'll allow you to take with you is your breath.
Such arrogance!
The Guru was exiled. He lost his family. He lost the security of his little hut. He lost his job. He lost his job as an advisor. He was now unemployed. He lost everything. And he just walked into the forest and kept walking. If everything's achievable by pleasing God, if our whole life is a success and all obstacles are overcome, why is this example given in Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata? The person who's pleasing Krishna so much is losing everything. And Duryodhana, who's displeasing the Lord more than anyone, is getting everything. Vidura, it is described, he loved his nephew dearly. Even though Duryodhana was envy personified. Vidura loved him. He really wanted what was best for him. He didn't hold anything against him. Nor did he hold anything against his brother for totally betraying him after Vidura dedicated his entire life to serving his brother, and now his brother totally betrays him and allows him to be insulted and exiled. Described in Srimad Bhagavatam that the words Duryodhana spoke were like piercing arrows to the heart of Vidura. It's not that it didn't hurt. Sometimes we think being transcendental means we don't feel pain anymore. We become like a transcendental piece of stone. Where honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, happiness, distress, health, disease, these things just don't affect us because we are connected to Brahman. One time a professor asked our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. This professor knew Sanskrit. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshastu Kunteya Sitrishna Sukha Dukkata Agama Payano Nityas Thams Tatiksham Svabhava. The non-permanent appearance and disappearance of happiness and distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, health, disease, they come and go like the winter and summer seasons. controversy tolerates them without being disturbed.
So this professor challenged Srila Prabhupada.
Arjuna heard the teaching, but then later on, after he heard the whole Bhagavad Gita and realized it, so many instances where he got really disturbed. When his son, Abhimanyu, was killed unfairly, Arjuna was crying. Subhadra, Krishna's own sister, the spiritual energy of the Lord, was crying. Why are they disturbed if they're not supposed to be disturbed? Prabhupada explained what it means to not be disturbed. It doesn't mean you don't feel. An enlightened person is Narottam, has the highest human qualities. It means his will to please Krishna was not disturbed. Even though his heart was broken by the death of his own son in such an unfair way, he carried on his service. When we think of Srila Prabhupada on Javaduta in 1965, cargo ship, and he's getting seasick, and he's writing down in his diary that he is seasick. Have any of you ever been seasick? It's really hard to think you're transcendental when you're seasick. And he had two heart attacks on a cargo ship. No doctors, there's no medication, it's just, you know, this little cabin. And while he was getting the heart attacks and the seasickness, the sea was stormy, the waves were rolling very high. And Srila Prabhupada, later on, he said the ship he was on felt like a little matchbook in the middle of the stormy sea. Why would Krishna make the sea like that? Srila Prabhupada was not disturbed because with a grateful heart he accepted whatever that may be and carried on with his service to please his Guru Krishna. So when it describes that Vidura, he has to leave his family, his heart is pierced by being publicly humiliated, all sorts of lies against him. But he was grateful. He wasn't thinking, I gave my heart for my nephew and for my brother, and look what they're doing to me. He wasn't thinking like that. He wasn't thinking that I've dedicated my every breath, my body, my mind, and my words for Krishna's service. Why is this happening to me? And he was somewhat elderly, too. Wasn't like a teenager taking an excursion in the forest. He lost everything except his will to serve. He was grateful. He was grateful because he saw this opportunity. See, now I don't have to be with these people. I stayed with them because it was my dharma, it was my duty
But now that duty is beyond my control, taken away. I'm free. I don't know where I'm going to stay. I don't have any food. I don't have anybody with me. But I'm going to just go on pilgrimage. Where am I going to go on pilgrimage? Everywhere. Wherever I am, I'm going to be seeking Krishna. And that's what Vidura did. So after this wonderful glorification of how he pleased the Lord, we read that materially nothing went his way, but yet he was always a success. Because none of the changes of this world, even the most painful changes, when people that you deeply love in this world, your whole life, betray you, turn on you, try to destroy you. That's what Vidura was going through. And no resources to live with, except his gratitude, his love, and his will of what. Now I'm in a situation, I can still please Krishna. By the sincerity of my motives in whatever situation, I can please Krishna. So I have everything. The opportunity to serve. Particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually a large section, Vidura, he meets a little, in one place, he meets Uddhava, who was such a dear, dear friend of Krishna. They have beautiful discussion. And then he enters, Vidura enters the foothills of the Himalayan mountains on the bank of the river Ganges. He approaches Maitreya Rishi. And they sit on the bank of the river, and Vidura is asking so many beautiful questions about the goal of life. Why would such an intimate friend and uncle of Krishna, the best devotee of Krishna, why is he humbling himself to ask so many questions about the purpose of life? And he's asking about so many histories. Because these wonderful histories of Puranas, they teach us how to apply the principles of philosophy in our lives. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke Mahajano Yena Gata Sabandha. The only way to approach perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great personalities, Mahajans. Vidura is one of the Mahajans. Vidura is actually Yamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans. And he took birth as Vidura because of some complication. And his whole life was a struggle. And here he is now, wandering homeless. And he's inquiring from Maitreya Rishi, please tell me, what is the path to the pleasure of the Lord? And Maitreya Rishi knows Vidura's greatness, but at the same time understands two things. Vidura is speaking for the benefit of everyone,
and simultaneously. The more you know God, the more you want to know more. And the more you want to know more, the more you become genuinely humble. He's not just pretending to be a student of Maitreya Rishi. From his heart, he wants to hear from you. And interesting, this narration from this chapter is being spoken by Maitreya Rishi to Vidura about the incarnation of Lord Varahadeva. And this conversation between Maitreya and Vidura is being described by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So this idea of devotees being put in reversals is not unique to Vidura. Parikshit Maharaj was a great devotee. In fact, he was, Maharaj, you could correct me, but he was like the grand nephew. Parikshit was like a grand nephew of Vidura. But see, that's what I'll be trying to describe, this nature of devotees. Yes, Vidura was an uncle of Pandavas. Maharaj was the grandson of Arjuna. So he was like a great grand nephew of Vidura, something like that. And Parikshit Maharaj, we read history of him. When he was in the womb of his mother, Ashwatthama sent a celestial weapon to kill him. And what can a little embryo do when there's a nuclear weapon heading? And it was not just like somewhere in the sky. It actually came right inside of his mother and was about to kill him. And his mother was crying out, "Krishna, save my child." Krishna came and saved him. And Parikshit saw that. So he was really Krishna conscious from that time. And his whole life he was Krishna conscious. He was protecting the innocent people from all the injustices, abuses, and violations of so many. He was really a king. He ruled with deep compassion. As a pure devotee of the Lord. But he made one little mistake. And he didn't even know what he was doing when he did it. Compared to all the good things he did, this was absolutely nothing. Even the person he did it to didn't feel anything but respect and honor for Parikshit. But the son of the person he gave it to cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days. This is the context. These two stories are so much the context of how Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken. So it's not a detail that things don't go the way we want it materially, even when we surrender everything to the Lord. It's not that maybe that will happen. Because even if you don't surrender to the Lord, you're going to lose everything.
whether we surrender or don't surrender, whether we please the Lord or displease the Lord, materially we're going to lose everything. It's just a matter of detail that varies. But when we value that the only thing that actually really matters is some severe Haridosh, Krishna's pleased. Nothing and no one can take that away from us if we're sincere. And in this beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada, one merely has to become sincere in his purpose. Then the Lord is there to help in every way. Now that could be confusing unless we understand what every way means. Vidura saw even the obstacles and injustices upon you. He saw that the Lord was there to help. In the world we live today, and you know, I'm 72 years old, I can't remember ever a time in my life. And as far as all the histories I've read, I've never read about any time, anywhere. You know, Satya Yuga, little Prahlad, had so many obstacles. Not to speak of Kali Yuga. So this every way, the Lord is there to help in every way. Less than 1 week ago, I had a Zoom. Y'all know Zoom? It's very consuming. But I think there was a couple thousand people on the call. It was devotees in Ukraine. Some were refugees in other countries. Most were, you know, the condition that they're in as devotees is, it's practically unimaginable unless we're in that condition. And even then it's unimaginable. In October, I was in Italy and many refugees. Mother with a little baby in her arms and a 6-year-old child and a 4-year-old child. The father wasn't allowed to leave the country. Homes destroyed, businesses destroyed. Just roaming from country to country homelessly. With looking for shelter. Now when you're seeing, you know, those little boxes that you in Zoom, like every little box had like families and whole ashrams in it. Having a family of children as a mother and father where your whole basis of income is finished. Relatives and friends are being killed. Totally out of your control, the environment around. And everything is totally uncertain. as far as one's material destiny.
And more difficult than having a destiny that is uncertain.
It was when your beloved little children, everything is uncertain, whether they're going to live or die. Yet so many of these people are offering gratitude. You know, in our own ways, we're all in similar predicaments where things just aren't going the way we want them to go, and there's so many uncertainties in the world. We have every reason to be angry and depressed. It doesn't take much philosophical, poetic research to find reasons to be angry and depressed. But following in the footsteps of Parikshit and Vidura and Prahlad, they're looking for something to be grateful for. And it's Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas through Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us something that we can be grateful for in any situation. Even when we're about to die. I could please Krishna. Some Siddhir Hari Toshana. That's perfection. I could give my children, I could give people of the world, whatever little way we can do. We can share Krishna's blessing, share the gift of bhakti with people. Being that life doesn't hurt, but there's an inner fulfillment when we actually take shelter of the opportunity to serve Seva. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his life was full of challenges. He wrote, where there's the greatest need, there's the greatest opportunity to serve. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, in Seva Kunj, the arena of the Rasa Lila, where Krishna is eternally dancing with gopis. At the eternal residence of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. Why did he leave there to go on that cargo ship? And eventually come to Los Angeles. Huh? He came to New York, San Francisco. And he made Los Angeles his national headquarters in the Dwarka. Because he saw the need. He saw there's such a great need. And therefore, he saw a great opportunity to serve. And whatever came his way, sometimes there was rejection, sometimes there was strokes and heart attacks, sometimes it was poverty, sometimes, you know, he was just grateful. That's what he's our acharya. He was just grateful to all these complications and setbacks. last year when I was in New York City, I was shown this little building that's completely on both sides. You know, in New York City, like one block, every building is like connected to every other building. There's no alleyways out there. You know, a little two-story building. Srila Prabhupada, when he was living on that upper Manhattan, he struggled for 6 months to get that building, to make it a temple of Radha and Krishna, to make it a cultural center, to have a restaurant. He was so enthusiastic. But he had no money and he had nobody to help him. And the whole story, he was writing to the politicians of India, he was writing to wealthy business people in India, he was writing to godbrothers and godsisters in India. He wanted that building so much, and people were actually giving him promises. So he invested more and more of his energy. But because of the politics of that time, even though people were willing to give the money for that building, they couldn't get it released from India into America. Eventually, he couldn't get it. He would stand in front of that building praying to get that building. Why? He could just go back to Vrindavan if he likes a nice place to stay. Because he saw the need that we have. And this is 1965. Before he had any followers. New York at the time was perhaps the most wealthy, modern, advanced city on the whole planet. And he's looking at all of us, feeling the great need we have. Because he saw in the mirage of so-called material happiness and prosperity, it all ends just with tasting hot, dry sand. Adhyatma kadi dariva kadi bo. He's walking through the cold winter of New York City. Nothing and no one. He's seeing limousines with people in glamorous clothes. And because he's seeing what is of true value, he's seeing poverty, he's seeing a pathetic state of need. Eventually, he went to the owner of the building, who was just a New York person. He wasn't from India or anything like that. And Srila Prabhupada said, just let me use the building. We could be partners. You know, we'll have this temple, and we'll have a restaurant, and we'll have a cultural center. You be the partner, I'll, you know, we'll assist each other. Let's do it together. And the person says, you know, Swamiji, I have no interest. And he sold it to someone else. And in Srila Prabhupada's diary, he describes, he says that losing that opportunity mortified him. Like the most extreme sense of disappointment.
Was he disturbed? No. Because after he lost it, some people told him, you know, this is kind of a wealthy area of New York. Better you go to the Lower East Side. People will probably take you more seriously. So that's why he went to the Lower East Side. Because by material standards, he was a failure. But there was no failure. Because his will to serve, his will to please Krishna, and Krishna being happy with that will. Krishna could have gave him that building. But where we're sitting now is 1,000 times better than that building. What to speak of all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of temples all over the world. Some are beautiful. Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his quarters here at New Dwarka. And considering, you know, his traveling around the world, his quarters here in New Dwarka were actually the most beautiful quarters that he ever had, as far as really nice material facilities. And Srila Prabhupada turned to someone and said, you see this wonderful quarters I've been providing. He said, I'm simply longing to go back to Vrindavan and live in my little room at Radha Damodar. Now, at that time, when Srila Prabhupada was at Radha Damodar Temple, because I was there in 1971, it was still just an earth floor. They've renovated it a lot. You know, they put marble or tiles on the floor and they've. But when he was there, it was really like a little simple cave type of room. And here he is, Los Angeles, California, Culver City. And he said, I'm longing to go back to Vrindavan to be in Radha Damodar. But he said, but for me to go back would be sense gratification. That's a completely opposite view than anybody else on the planet practically has. For him, giving up luxury to live in poverty is sense gratification. Does that make sense? I don't even know what I said. Because the greatest need is here. And therefore, I could give the most happiness to my Guru and Krishna by being here. The verse today, nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. Whether we're speaking of our beloved founder Acharya, or whether we're speaking about little Prabhupada or Dhruva, or we're speaking of Vidura, it's not that when Parikshit Maharaj surrendered to Krishna that the curse was reversed. That kind of rhymes, reverse curse. Didn't happen that way. He still died in 7 days. But yet we consider it the most successful life. The circumstances didn't change. But his consciousness changed. Krishna was pleased. So why every morning do we read Srimad Bhagavatam together and discuss?
day I would chant in Krishna's name and try to cry out for mercy with all our hearts. Yes, our dharma in this world, we must do everything we can on behalf of Krishna to protect our children, to protect our society. Devotees are activists, even in a social sense. But that activism is never disconnected from what pleases Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. So, obviously what it's speaking here, that means nothing that is real, meaningful, and spiritual is unachieved in Krishna's presence. Material existence is like endlessly unachievable. Because even if you achieve something, you have to hold on to it, and you can't. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself. That means there's nothing within our power that we can do to achieve that highest stage. But when Krishna's pleased, He gives us that. Daivi yesha gunamai mama maya durakya mame fami prapadyante maya me tatra. Krishna declares with supreme authority that this divine nature, this material energy consisting of the three modes of nature, Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattvaguna. It's very difficult. In fact, it's impossible to overcome. But one who surrenders, Sharanagati, one who takes shelter of me, by my grace, one can overcome everything. So the perfection of life is not depending on material circumstances or outcomes. The perfection of life is that Krishna's pleased. By pleasing our gurus, by pleasing the Vaishnavas, by following Krishna's teachings sincerely, which means to serve with love and devotion, ultimately, the instrument of Krishna's compassion as the goal of whatever we do. And we do our dharma the best we can in that spirit. That is the supreme perfection of success in life. Everything else is insignificant. That's an important word. Because by the illusory power of Maya, we consider insignificant things to be significant. And that consciousness deludes us to think that significant things are insignificant. There's so many pressing needs in the world.
how significant is it for me to chant my rounds in the morning? It seems insignificant compared to everything else going on and all the demands. But if it pleases Krishna, it's supremely significant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. Nothing can separate us from Krishna in our heart. That means essentially everything's all right. If something could separate us from Krishna in our heart, that's a problem. But if nothing could separate us from Krishna in our heart, ultimately everything's all right. But when we forget Krishna's in our heart, and we're not living in harmony with Krishna in our heart, that is the root cause of all the real problems in existence. So yes, we feel for people who are suffering the pains of material existence. Krishna feels Yadayadahidharamasyaklanyabhavati. That's why he descends to this world again and again, because he doesn't like to see us suffering. He loves us for his children. To assist Krishna in bringing people closer to Krishna's love. That's the only thing that really pleases Krishna while we're in this world. And I am very significantly over time. As insignificant as I am, I'm significantly over time, so I think I should end here. Oh, thank you very much.
Hrimo! His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj Ki Jai. So before everybody goes to breakfast, and let's hope that there's enough breakfast because so many devotees showed up, but I think that you'll be okay. But I just wanted to clarify, it was first announced that tomorrow's Sunday Feast lecture will be given by Narantar Prabhu, but we've changed. Radhanath Maharaj has agreed to give class tomorrow. So everybody come for the noon RT, let's have a rip-roaring kirtan, and then Maharaj will give the Sunday Feast lecture. Ha ha ha.